And dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation is near. You can feel it building up. You hear the promises being retold. You see people preparing. Salvation is near. In this dreary time of year with clouds in the sky and a lot of snow on the ground, with these bitter winds biting at us, chilling our bones, even here, salvation is near. Salvation is near, and there is a stump. And on that stump, there is a little sprout beginning to grow. Even in the middle of this cold, there is growth, and salvation is drawing near. A promise was made long ago, a promise to save from sin, a promise to release from death, a promise made by the Lord in heaven. Jeremiah was a prophet who faced the worst of Jerusalem, faced his nation being carried off into exile by Babylon, faced the destruction of all that he knew. And as Jeremiah sits in the court guard, he brings a word of hope. This man who is the person who should be depressed, who should be all doom and gloom, preaches a message of hope. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise. That promise that I made so long ago, I've remembered it and I am keeping it, and I will continue to keep this promise that I have made. The days are coming when my righteousness will come to you. The days are coming when that stump of Jesse will sprout with new life. The days are coming when Judah will be saved, when Jerusalem will dwell securely. The days are coming, and those days will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Those days will be filled with the slogan, the Lord is our righteousness. And many years later, after this prophet, after these Jews return to Judah, return to Jerusalem, and after they continue on for many, many years after that, a woman is pregnant, and salvation is near. She sings a song of joy. She is blessed with a fiancé who does not reject her or shame her. And this woman, who is in this little town, who is in the middle of nowhere, salvation is drawing near. And this woman who is rejected from a home sits in a stable and gives birth to a healthy young boy. She gives birth surrounded by animals, surrounded by shepherds, and salvation draws near. And this boy grows into a remarkable teacher who challenges the way that people think, the way that people interact with one another. This teacher speaks like the prophets do, speaks in a way that grabs your attention, also speaks in a way that makes you wonder, makes you think. He calls people back to God. He tells them to be prepared, to stay awake, because the things are already happening and God is coming. He paints an image of terror, an image of the heavens and the earth being shaken and torn apart. But he ends with a message of hope. Salvation is drawing near. Redemption is drawing near. And the people hearing his teaching hear his words and listen on in confusion. They listen on in fear. This teacher, this prophet, this man, he declares things are already happening. He declares things which make us worry and anxious. He declares things that are already happening and will continue to happen until everything ends. And he declares to us that it's happening already. But yet he tells them that his words will not pass away. This prophet, this teacher, declares to them that he is the Son of Man, a figure foretold. And he tells them again to stay awake. This teacher, this prophet, this Son of Man, this Jesus of Nazareth, challenges the greatest enemies. And these aren't the great enemies that we might think as we read in Scripture of the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Romans, and the others. This man, this God, challenges the greatest enemies of sinful arrogance, selfishness, and truly all aspects of sin, which leads him to be nailed to a tree. Quite ironic, because the stump that was prophesied about with that new righteous growth, that stump was the stump of Jesse, the father of David. And in the lineage of David, we see this Jesus born and grow. And while he is the righteous branch that grew out of that stump, he is now crucified on a tree that is carved into a cross. And he dies. This declaration that he is the Son of Man, these teachings, these prophecies, the fact that he is the very Son of God, cannot save him. He goes to this cross. He is condemned. And he dies. But in this lifeless body, salvation is drawing near. In this man who is taken down from this dead tree, salvation is drawing near. In this lifeless corpse placed in a freshly hewn stone grave, salvation is drawing near. To these women who on Easter morning go to mourn the death of their friend and teacher, salvation is drawing near. As they go to that tomb and see no dead corpse, salvation is drawing near. And as Christ appears to many risen from the grave, salvation is here. This one event is a salvation for all. This three-day event is salvation that has been brought for all people, to all people. After the resurrection, after Jesus rises from the dead, salvation is no longer near, it's here. That promise is fulfilled. That stump has now gone from a stump to a sprout to now to the full-grown tree of life. As salvation is here and found in Christ. And to all around the world, salvation draws near. The work is complete, the promise is fulfilled, and now it is available for all to receive. There are many who work to deliver this message. They are apostles, pastors, teachers, students, men, women, familiar faces, and foreigners. They are people from all walks of life who have received this salvation and seek to bring it to everyone they know and anyone they can find. And one of the most famous people for this is Paul, this famous apostle who goes throughout almost the entire Roman Empire declaring salvation has been brought near to all people, that it is not just for the Jews that the promise was made to, but for all nations and for all people. For all know the sting of death, for all know the suffering of sin, and for all salvation has been brought near. But yet today, we focus on one of Paul's journeys to Thessalonica. As Paul journeys, he keeps in contact with these many churches that he helped start. And as we read in 1 Thessalonians today, he encourages these people, he reminds them to be blameless, to prepare themselves for the salvation which is drawing near. Because while this is the first Sunday of Advent, while this is our time of preparation as we celebrate the Christ child that is born, this is also a time for us to remember and to prepare for the salvation that is drawing near to us even now to this day. Salvation that is coming to us in the form of a risen King who, as Scripture says, will come riding in the clouds and take us to perfection. And now, brothers and sisters in Christ, with salvation here, I invite you to look to the cross, to look to that empty tomb, to see your salvation, to see your sins have been paid for, that forgiveness is yours, that you have been snatched out of the hands of death, and now is your time. Paul calls on God to make the Thessalonians increase and abound in love for one another so that their hearts may be established blameless in holiness. And today, I call on my God to do the same for you, that he would make you abound in love, that he would work in your heart so that you would be ready and prepared, that you would be blameless, that you would be made to love and to serve in mercy towards all people, that God would make you wise when you face your temptations, that God would lead you to your forgiveness when you do fall into sin, but that God would always lead you right back to that salvation that he so wonderfully and freely brings to you every second of the day, that God would bring you to the waters of baptism, that God would bring you to the altar to receive the body and blood of Christ, that God would speak to you, maybe sometimes even shout at you through his word, so that you would hear and know all of the gifts that he is bringing to you, so that you would be made holy and blameless for the advent of our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.